It's an industry that's lauded as having massive potential.
Over the past 15 years, global consumption of seafood has increased around 25%, and we forecast that by about 2030, we're going to need around 30 to 40 million tonnes of additional seafood. So in terms of a supply-demand scenario, there's certainly phenomenal demand, and which is certainly outstripping supply at the moment.
Matthew Costello is an analyst specialising in animal protein with Rabobank, whose recent report into the Australian seafood sector predicted the industry was in the box seat to meet growing demand locally and internationally.
There's growing demand from Western consumers just due to the whole perceived health and well-being benefits, the growth in Asian cuisines around sushi and sashimi restaurants. There's such a diverse range of seafood items that lend itself to different income groups, efficiency and productivity gains are around the aquaculture sectors, which keeps prices at a certain price point.
At a recent agribusiness investor conference, Austrade Commissioner David Watson urged investors to take a punt on fish farms, saying while the industry had a checkered past, there were opportunities for investors prepared to take on a higher risk. And he cited the fact China had recently become a net importer of seafood as a sign of growing global demand. David Williams, a corporate advisor to food and agribusinesses and a former owner of Tasmanian salmon company Tassal, doubts whether Australian producers could be cost-effective enough to compete in the export market. But he says local demand is strong.
There is a massive growing market in Australia for fish, and we are producing just a smidgen of what's imported, whether that be barramundi or any sort of white fish. The imports are just enormous, and the supermarkets are desperate to have at least one other species that they can put alongside salmon. The beauty about salmon is you can pull it out of the water every day. So the supermarkets and the food service people and people who are doing weddings, they know that every day they can get salmon and they can get it in 250-gram slices. They know how easy it is to plate up, but there's nothing else. And so there is a need to have something that comes alongside salmon so that they can keep the salmon people honest, but also so that they can provide choice.
But David Williams says there are challenges attracting capital to the aquaculture sector, one of those being geography.
You need to grow fish where the water's ideal for them. So as it turns out, it's at the extremes of Australia. So, you know, you've got a lot of barramundi, a lot of prawns, a lot of other species north of the Brisbane line, as it were. And then you've got a lot of colder fish like salmon, which is the big driver of agriculture in Australia, down south of Hobart and on the west coast of Tasmania. So what comes with that is the biggest challenge is forget about scale. That's an issue as well. But, you know, getting fish out of the water in, say, Cone Bay, around Derby in Western Australia, getting it to Derby, getting it to Perth, getting it to Melbourne and Sydney and then into a supermarket presents enormous logistical challenges. Worth taking, by the way, and worth fixing if you've got scale. But if you haven't got scale, it's a nightmare and you're going to die by a thousand cuts, as a lot of these guys are doing.
He sees a role for state governments in helping foster the establishment of large-scale ventures that could attract investor dollars.
They are packaging up bits of land and saying, look, here's a bit of land, who will bid for it and who will come and plant it and invest in it, such as what the Western Australian government's just done with stage two of the Ord. They packaged up 18,000 hectares. Next thing, you've got a massive Chinese company that's spent already probably $150 million clearing it and about to plant. That sort of investment can be done, in my opinion, also on water, because the water assets, the government's got plenty of. And so, you know, the Northern Territory government can say, you know what, we're going to package 200 acres off the Tiwi Islands, and who will bid for that and come and put some barramundi farms or some prawn farms or whatever. And each state has particular watercourses that could be in non-sensitive areas that could attract massive investment and provide not only output but employment and so forth.
And I guess in terms of the food investment story, it's another protein source that we keep being told is what the world is waiting for and wanting.
Well, that's right. And I think that's a sensible way to think about it as protein. Don't get too carried away. It's not a romantic notion. Aquaculture does sound romantic, but don't get too carried away with species, as I hear people doing with certain types of prawns and barramundi and certain other species and so forth. It's protein. And the biggest aquaculture companies in the world, the biggest fish companies in the world, no longer think about, oh, I want to be in flounder, I want to be in tilapia, I want to be in salmon. They think about protein. How can we grow the most fish for the least amount of input and save the sort of input, what we're doing to the planet in terms of feeding these fish.